Hebrews chapter number 12, starting at verse number 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and," what? "Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And one other passage of Scripture, John chapter 19, verse number 30, very, very short Scripture, says, "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." I want to preach just for a little while on this very simple topic, the unfinished story. The unfinished story. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask you, God, to help me today to deliver into this wonderful group of believers what you have put into my spirit. Help me, God, to somehow impact the minds of every person that's here, including myself, with what you've put into me, God, that it can pull us and draw us and change our mindsets and provoke us and cause us to think more of you and cause us to draw closer to you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Stories are something that are meant to be finished. There are some things that we go through life that is unfinished. And I don't know if any of you are like me, but someplace around my house, if you look pretty close, you're going to find something that's not finished. Everywhere in our lives that we go about our lives, there are some things that would drive my good brother here absolutely crazy, because he likes things to be finished. But there are some things that I will start, and I've really got good intentions. There is some things that you know, I knew that the chickens needed a coop, so I started building the coop one day, and I used what I had out there to make the chicken coop. Well, it's still plywood. There's no siding or anything to make it look nice. It's just plywood around the outside. It held the chickens in, so I figured chickens are in, they can lay their eggs, everything's good, right? But it's not quite finished. And finishing something is something that is not always the easiest to do. How many of you have a tendency to sometimes start something, whether it be a job, whether it be a project in life, whether it be something that you see, maybe a club at school or something that's challenging, you think, wow, that could be a lot of fun, and you jump in full bore into do it, and you find out after a week or two that this ain't quite so fun as I thought. This is just not what I envisioned this all to be. And if you were raised in my home, it's a little different. In my home, it was always taught to our children, as it was always taught to me and my wife, that if you start something, if you sign the letter saying you was going to do it, 2 weeks in, if you find out it isn't any fun, you're going to finish it whether you like it or not. Simply because you signed up. You told them you were going to commit to this project, but now you've got to follow through and you've got to finish. Every single one of us was born into a life that started out in sin and separated from God. Every single one of us has a story to our lives. Some of us, if we look back over our lives, we could write quite a book if we were writers of the things that has went on in our lives. Some of you someday may have the privilege of penning down the things that God has done in your life. And we can all look back in hindsight and see the handprint of God on our lives. And we see where God has gave us a breakthrough. He gave us just that edge on someone else that was trying out for the job that we didn't see it coming. And just the little things that just kind of along life just kind of pegged us that when we look at that time, it seemed like a catastrophe, or we wondered if God exists and why he was doing that. But then we look a few years down the road after we've been through it, and then we look back and we say, wow, that really worked out for my good. Had I made the other decision, we wouldn't be where we're at today as a family. Had I never picked up the phone, and dialed 931-987-... I might not have that beautiful wife that I have today. It was one thing to have a picture and a phone number, but there had to be a point that I had to follow through in the process, and I had to pick up the phone call, and I had to call her, and I had to get in a vehicle, and I had to go down to Tennessee and meet her, and then I had to get on a plane and fly down to see her to make sure that she still loved me in the middle of that process. And then there was a time that we stood in a little church in Tennessee. And in the back room of that church, her pastor looked at me and he said, "Son, I have utmost respect for this man of God for this reason." He said, "Son, I'm not your pastor, I'm hers. But if you have changed your mind, you still got time. Me and you will get in my car, and they'll never know where we went if you want to back out." She might not like her pastor because of that. But what he was saying is, it's not finished yet. You haven't taken her hand. You haven't said the I do's yet. But when I officially say, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Brent W. Smith, it's over. It's finished. You done signed the deal, you done committed, and that's where you're gonna be. And I'm glad I did. But there are some things in our lives that are not finished. Some of you young people that are sitting here today, you turn that thing off. Some of you young people that are sitting in here today that as you're going through life, there are some things that you have started out in this life, and it's an open book to you. There is. I don't want to make this sound like this a money-grubbing speech, but there's a lot of money to be made out there if you want to make money. There is success out there if you want to be successful. You can get a great education, and some of the things that some kids that take for granted that's laying right in front of them on the table, literally thousands of dollars in scholarships that you can actually, if you work hard enough, not pay a dime to go to a college like Notre Dame at the tune of about $80,000 to go there. And someone else will pick up that tab because you worked hard enough to achieve it, and you can do it. Now, I don't believe as a pastor, and I told you we had a lot of young people, so allow me to preach to them just for a little bit. There is nothing wrong with achieving those kinds of goals. There is nothing wrong with being successful, and I want the young people of this church to be successful. I want the young people in this church to look back over their life and say, I've been blessed. I've worked hard for it, but I know I wouldn't have got here if it weren't for the grace and the mercy of God. And know where it came from. It's not because we're smart, but it's because Jesus Christ rewarded and blessed the effort that you put into serving Him and into this life. Solomon had a perspective on life, and he said, when you look at life, the things that you can get into life and achieve in life, God has given you those things to actually enjoy in life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things and the fruits that fall off of the trees that you plant. I enjoy going out and finding an apple tree that someone has planted and taking a piece of that fruit and eating a. There's nothing like, you can buy them at the store, you can pick them off the tree, and the tree is much better. And enjoying that. There is nothing wrong with that. But what we must be careful of is we remember where it came from. We remember that we may put it in, but God gives the increase. We may plant the seed, but God brings it back home to us. And as I preached a few weeks ago, what you put into it, you will get back out of it. But in the process of life, there is none of us that was born with a sealed book that says, you're destined to fail. You're destined to never be anybody. You're destined to never have success in life. You may not have got the best breaks in life. You may not have everything, and you may not be the choice a person in the class. You may be taller. You may be shorter, like I was. I was always the runt of the class. I was the one that they would walk by and put stuff just up on the shelf where I couldn't reach it, because I was too short, and I was over there that had to go get a chair to get it back down. But you know what? That taught me over time. That means I just got to work a little harder. I may not be the biggest. That means I got to be the fastest so I can outrun them. And there's challenges in life that we all are going to face. We all, I don't care if you're young, middle-aged, or older. And I believe in some of you folks that have reached the senior citizen state will probably tell me that senior citizenism is not what everybody says it should be. There's a whole new set of challenges when it comes to that stage of life that you've got to learn to adapt to and learn to work through. But you're still, the story is not finished. It's still not over. If you have breath in your body, you have the choice of what they put on your tombstone someday. You have the opportunity at every moment to make a decision on what life is going to be for you. That's the beauty of a God that we serve, because the God that we serve didn't want man to just be a bunch of, pardon this carnal phrase, but numbskulls, if you will, where they just kind of just follow along, just and like some. I remember when I was a kid, I had the little Star Trek stories where I would flip the book while the record would play, and we'd turn the pages, and you had these little. People that just kind of followed the leader, and it didn't matter what they did. They just did everything they told them to do. We aren't just robots. God didn't want a bunch of robots, but he wants people that gets up with a will that says, I don't have to do this, but I want to. I don't have to get up and go to church today, but God, you've done so much for me, and I can't help but give you back a little bit of praise and glory in my life. Well, Tyler, when you make all that money someday, there's going to be opportunities to give back to the God that blessed you with it. Don't miss the opportunity, because that's a blessing in itself. There are things that sometimes I think we overlook in life, and what's really important and what's not. And we get caught up in going through life and living life and doing life and what we envision life should be. And sometimes we completely miss the mark of really where we could be with God. I think sometimes we destitute ourselves to be just a saint that comes to church and sits on a pew and faithful. And there is nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. The God bless the faithful saints. There wouldn't be a church without them. But there's something about Brother Joey. I don't leave church at church, but I carry church home with me. I live church. This is my church, not the building, but my life and what I have, that communication with God. And there is no better feeling than baptizing my best friend in Jesus' name. There is no better feeling than to watch sitting in a Bible study as tears began to stream down someone's face. As me and Brother Ted was there that day when Brother Tracy said, you know what, Pastor? The first one we ever baptized in Jesus' name. He said, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? Brother Tracy, you couldn't have given me $1 million that night and made me any happier than that moment. But sometimes we sell our soul short, so short, because we just feel like we aren't capable of doing things for God. But we must realize, really, we aren't capable of doing things for God. We in ourselves and our carnal minds and our carnal thinking and our flesh are so short of the glory of God. But God takes that flesh. He takes that carnal thinking. He transforms and he says, now, I'm going to make you into a vessel of honor. I'm going to make you into something that I can use for my glory. And when the world sees you, they're not going to see you. They're going to see me. That's the beauty of living for God. When I realize my infirmities and my infirmities and what I have, and I put myself into the hands of God, and God takes me and transforms me into something that He gets glory out of. You see, the difference in being used by God and not being used by God is my willingness to die. My willingness to give up my agenda and my life and my thoughts. And yes, it's just a matter of me getting up one day and saying, God, I don't necessarily care what the end game is. As long as heaven is my home, you can take this vessel and you can use this vessel in whatever way and form that you want it. But there comes a day that you're going to look back and you can hold this record assured that I don't care what you give to God. God will give it back, multiplied, pressed down, and flowing over. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's time. I don't care if it's just the things like we were doing yesterday. I told Brother Hercules, I said, after we've carried all these chairs, I said, you may have to hold the mic. I said, my arms are killing me. My back is killing me. He said, mine too. He said, why don't you just take that last trailer over to the church tomorrow? See if you can get some of them boys to help you unload it. He says, I don't think I can lift another chair today. But you know what? Pastor feels pretty good today. I don't believe it's because I'm in that good of shape, sister. I'm not used to carrying that many chairs. I'm used to putting a meter on something saying, yep, it's good or it's bad. But that's the kind of things that God looks at and He says, you know what? And I fully believe this. Some Saturday, way on down the road, I'll be sitting in a deer stand and God will send by the best blessing and He'll give me a beautiful sunrise and He'll give me the moments. And you know what, Brother Tyler, the sad thing is I probably won't remember the payback that God has just given me. I won't even remember the day I carried those chairs. But God will just drop something in my life. And that song that I was preaching about, that you've answered so many prayers that I forgot to thank you for, that happens to every single one of us. We get a job raise. We get a blessing of God. We get another vehicle. All mysteriously, the bank decides, oh, they owe you some money from an overpayment of taxes or something. And boom, there's a couple $100 and you didn't see it coming. And it happens all the time. But the difference is God remembered, but we don't. 99.9% of the time. As I began to study, Jesus on the cross made a statement. And He said, it is what? Finished. He sealed the book. He signed the letter. The IOU for your life was paid that day. As I begin to study this word and this segment of it is finished in the Bible, I was amazed. There was a Columbia University did a study on this little phrase from the Bible. As I began to study from the Greek, this is how I ran across it. In the Greek, it is tetelestia, which means to bring to a close or to complete in full. Something that He says, the door is now shut on the old life. The law is now finished, and now grace has begun. It is now something that stops. But when I began to study the study that was done by Columbia University, it made a statement, and it said that this was a very unique phrase when it came to the Greek, because it uses what they call two different types of words. It takes two tenses together and multiplies them to make up this word, tetestia. And what it is present tense and aorist tense. Aorist tense meaning something that happens at a particular time or moment. So to make up it is finished, the word finished, it means in part of the Greek that it is finished, over, done, stops at that point. All the never coming back, but a sealed moment, something that happens at a moment. So, but the other half of that word is present tense. It means it's linear, meaning something that continues into the future and has ongoing results and implications. So at that moment, it said it was very rare for them to ever use two tenses on the same word in the New Testament. But isn't it unique that Jesus Christ that day, as he said, it is finished, he said, yes, it's sealed, it's done in a moment, but yet it's going to live in infamy until this world is over. It's never going to stop. My grace is sufficient. It is going to carry mankind as long as there's breath in your body, as long as you can get up in the morning and lift a hand and breathe a little, I love you to Jesus. His grace is still sufficient. You see, what Jesus is saying is, it's finished, it's complete. And then he goes on to say, the prophecies are sealed. The suffering is over. The atonement has been paid. It's done. But yet, it's going to live well beyond my life. You see, all of you young people, and I've made this statement in this church before, but I feel in the Holy Ghost I need to make it again. The only thing that's going to live beyond you is the things you do for God. Brother Sean, they can open that box that they're going to stuff my body in someday. And they can dump in the coins and the money and close the lid. But it ain't going to do anybody no good. I can't take it with me. The things that I've invested into this world, all those unfinished projects at my house that my wife would love to see finished, the only way we're ever going to enjoy them is if I finish them in this life. Because my Bible says we're going to have a new home. A place where the builder and maker is God. Designed to perfection. If there's any perfection that's in the house, if you've ever seen perfection, I believe we're going to see it someday. Because God doesn't miss. It's perfect. It's right. Every single time. And God put the DNA in every single one of the people that I'm looking at here today. And if I were looking in a mirror, staring right back at myself, he put inside of every one of us the DNA that we needed to be successful in his eyes. You see, some of us, it's not the will of God for you to make a lot of money. Because we couldn't handle it. Some of us can. And God helps us to use that to move the kingdom of God forward and bless the kingdom of God. But we've got to learn in our own abilities, within our own mindsets. The Bible says to find contentment. The peace in God. If I'm so driven that I've got to have more, 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 that I leave God out of the picture, God, let me be content with just a little. If I've got to push, 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 and I'm going to lose my marriage to get it, then God, just let me be content with a little. But if I can handle those things, and you need me to use my body and my will and the things that I can accomplish in this life to advance the kingdom of God, and I can handle it and balance God, church, family, home, and all of those things, then I say, God, I'm willing to expend myself so that the kingdom of God can advance in the future. In places that maybe it never could have gone. Maybe a missionary can go to the foreign field. Why? Because maybe I can help fund that trip. Or maybe I'm the one that gets on the airplane, sells everything I have, walks away from career, walks away from everything I have, and I walk into the foreign field just to tell a young lad somewhere on the street living alone, Jesus loves you. And I came 2,000 miles just to tell you that. But every life here today is an unfinished story. So what do we do with it? Where do we go with it? If your life goes on pause from this day forward, can you look into the eyes of God and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You see, we are creatures of habit. At least I am. I can drive the same vehicle for a while, and you know what? I'll get in the other vehicle, and I'll be reaching for a gear shifter that ain't there. For the joy, when I go out and feed my dogs, I use the same bucket with the same scoop, put the food in the same place. I do it in the exact same order every single time. Why? Because it works for me, and it ain't broke. You know why the dogs start barking about the same time every day? Because they know I'm a creature of habit. They know it's about food time because he's pretty consistent. It's a habit. Every single one of us are creatures of those habits, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Whether it's advancing us closer to God or if it's separating us further and further and further, until there comes a day you're going to look around and say, "God, where'd you go? I don't feel you anymore. I feel like I'm walking through life all alone." The reality is, God didn't get up one day and say, "I'm just going to leave him." No. Slowly but surely, we chose to walk our own direction until finally we were so far out of the presence of God we could sit in his presence and not feel it. I thank God every time I can feel conviction in my spirit. I thank God every time, Brother Joey, that I walk into the house of God and something wells up inside of me and I say, "God, I'm so little. I'm so insufficient for the calling that you have put upon my life." And that's when I feel the presence of God begin to well up inside of me. I say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can step in a pulpit and preach a message that I should never be allowed to preach. But God's grace gives me the strength. The Holy Ghost gives me the anointing. And we can say, "God's good to us." One more time. Let's all stand. You see, when he said it was finished, what he was saying was, the price has already been paid. There is no excuse for anybody to come into my presence unprepared. I've done it for you. All you have to do is access the blood that was already shed and already given. The perfect lamb already paid the price. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" All I'm saying is this. In Jesus' day, in those disciples' day, after he was crucified, taken away, and he sent them back, and he said, "Go back into Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power." And they began to pray and they began to intercede because they thought Jesus was going to raise up a kingdom and they thought Jesus was going to raise up an insurrection. And he said, "I'm not going to do that. But I want you to go back and wait for me." As they began to open those scriptures and show those Jews, very successful people, the Bible says they were devout Jews, that they had crucified the Messiah that they had been looking for all their life. For generation after generation after generation. The one that they had been prophesying that would come. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter stood there that day. And he said, "The first thing you must do is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Then he said, "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But then he said, "This is a promise, is unto you, to your children, to your children's children, all that are afar off." What he was saying was, this gift is a gift that the government can't take. CDs won't deplete. Things that you leave in this life may go away. But this gift will go to your children and to your children's children, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. It was the ultimate gift. Because every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today, I ask you today, as they begin to play in your life here today, I believe, as a pastor, every single one of us are in different stages of our walk with God. Some of you are brand new to God, and this is a whole new world to you. And hearing this preacher stand up talking about a God that can take all your sins and remove everything out of your life that's not like Him, and that seems so foreign to you. Could a God really do that? You mean I go down in a watery grave? You mean you're going to put me in a tank and baptize me and God's going to forgive me of everything in my life? That doesn't make any sense to me. And there may be some here that's experienced what I'm preaching about, and you've started walking your own life and walking your own way, and you're realizing this story ain't coming out the way I thought it would come out. If I'm going to change the ending, I better rewrite some chapters right now, and I better start a new chapter 3 and a new chapter 4. And there may be some of us that's experienced what I preached about today, and you've fallen in love with God. The story isn't over, but you're doing your best to walk hand in hand and fulfill what God has called you to do. But I believe, as a pastor, there's never a moment that we can quit thinking about, God, what can I do for you? And some of us, it may be simply just coming to Him. Some of us, it may be following Him. Some of us, it may be coming back to Him. But today, I want to invite anybody that wants to just to come around this front, or you can kneel at your pew if you want to, but I'm going to give a small invitation today for anybody that would like to come around. And I challenge all of our church folks, the regular folks, if you would come first in around these altars and allow our guests to come in behind us. So I wonder if we could come in, and whether you kneel at this altar, whether you find a place at the pew, or you just want to stand around the front. So I wonder if we could lift our hands towards God or kneel before Him and say, God, I may not have everything perfect in my life. And God, I may not have everything in my life, all the dots in a row, God, and I may have some sentences that are running together and it ain't making a whole lot of sense right now in this story that I'm trying to print out of my life, God. But if there's anything I really want in life, God, it's when I leave this world, it's something that can pass from one generation to the next, God. That they can look at my life and say, He was blessed. He was blessed. She was blessed. The hand of God was upon her life. So today I'm asking us as a group here, can we reach out to God? Can we thank Him for one more time to reaching into our lives and allowing us one more time the opportunity to recognize that the story is not over. It doesn't have to end the way so many lives end. But your life and your story can end with God saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter therein. I've been waiting on you. There's a place prepared for you. I've been waiting for this moment. I've talked with you. We've talked so many times. But now you're going to see me for who I really am. You're going going to see me not just when you're praying, not just in that distant relationship that we had when you were bound in your mortal body, but now that mortal has taken on immortality. That corruptible is now incorruptible. Now there is a place that we can be in the presence of God. It will never end. There is a place that we can walk into the presence of God, and that's called eternity, that will never stop. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us one more time. Can we worship and praise Him in this house? Oh God, oh God, oh God, when you said it was finished, God, that word, those words echo through eternities, and I can still hear it now. It is finished. The price has been paid. The debt has been removed. All I see is my blood. That's the only way we can stand before you whole, God, is through your mercy and your grace, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God, one more time here today, for allowing us, God, to see you for who you really are. God, I know in myself, God, even as a pastor, there are times, God, that I have to look and I have to really seek your will and I have to make sure, God, that I'm following step for step, because I have a tendency, God, to try to make my own decisions, plan out what I think is best for the church. And today, God, help me to yield to your spirit, and yield to who you are, and yield to what you want for my life. And I don't know where it will all lead, God, but I know if I follow you, it will always come out right. There may be detours that we take in life, but God, you're always there with a big open arm to say, won't you come back home? There's still a place. I still have a purpose for your life. It's not over yet. You see, it's an unfinished story. Thank you, Jesus. So glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I wonder all across this place if we can lift our hands to Him one more time and thank Him for investing in us. Thank Him for allowing us to be a vessel of honor. A vessel that He could work through and minister through. And I don't know where your life is or where it's going to end up someday. And some of you may be preachers. Some of you may be preachers' wives. Some of you may be leaders in the church. Some of you may be choir leaders someday. Some of you may be musicians someday. Some of you may be one of the greatest evangelists that's ever walked through this country. to ever grace shoe leather. Greatest revival some churches may have ever seen may come under some of your ministries. You see, I don't know where it is God may take you and where He may lead you. But God does. The question is, will I yield to it? Am I willing to follow Him? Am I willing to be able to be used by God? Yielding and walking in the Spirit's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But it's the easiest plan. Because you can't mess it up. As long as you stay behind Him and don't get out in front of Him, usually comes out just fine every single time. Every single time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I want to say thank you to all for coming today. To our guests, thank you, those family that's from Walkerton, Brother Randy and his family, for coming out. Good to see. Is it Christy again? Good to see her again. She's a return guest. She came a long time ago, early on, I think, in the church, I do believe. And we are honored that you would come back and be with us. And I want you all to know, no matter who you are, unless you're from another church, let me correct that, unless you're from another church, there's always a place in the kingdom of God for you. And my job is to help you find it as a pastor. That's my job. And I take that very seriously. We do have a birthday today. I think it is right on the day. Brother Joey Stilts, it's his birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.